the week before, where did we start? In Proverbs chapter, was it 2? Chapter 2. And we walked through scripturally spiritual principles for solid foundation. The word says, not Proverbs chapter 2, but the word says, my people are destroyed for what?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge is a key to destruction. Right? Listen to what he said. My people are destroyed for. So would you then conclude that lack of knowledge would be the key or the tool that the enemy would use to destroy you?
Yes.
He clearly said it. This is why you destroy. You know what scripture never says, even though church says it? My people are destroyed because God is trying to teach them something. It's no scripture. But churches preach that all the time. Well, he's trying to teach you something. He gave you that cancer because I'm like, where would God get cancer from to give somebody? God don't have no cancer. Ain't no cancer in heaven. Where would he get it from? He have to go borrow something from Satan, like a cup of sugar. I'm going to put some cancer on one of my kids. Can you help me out? It's stupidity, but it's in the church. It's a lot of stupid people in church. Well, Jesus said that your children of unrighteousness arise in the generation and the children of light. And when I begin to study the Old Testament again, I begin to see the things which I talked about Saturday that I never saw before. That the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the Daniels, that the Joseph, that the Esthers, that God would send them to pagan kings to redeem his people. His people had to be saved through pagans. Each one of those kings didn't serve God. But then they witnessed God work through certain individuals. And then that king would say to his whole domain, you will serve the God of Daniel. Get rid of all the statues. You will serve the God of Daniel, when the Israelites were erecting the statues. God's like, I will use who I need to use. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So as we worked, as we went through Proverbs chapter 2, we saw it all you're getting, get wisdom. Remember, we had a checklist. Get wisdom, and with wisdom get? Oh, my babies, I'm so proud of you. So wisdom, and I'm not going to go through the whole message. You can go back and listen to it. Insight, and with insight get? So he broke it down. You got to get wisdom, and we broke down that you get wisdom how? Through Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. So to accept the Christ, you have wisdom. If you're a Christian believer, stop praying for wisdom. You have it. You're born again, you have the wisdom. Just because you're not tapping into it like an idiot don't mean you don't have it. You can go starving with food in your cabinet. So you have wisdom. Amen. So now wisdom, he says, and get insight now. Insight to that wisdom. The understanding of the inner workings of it. Insight. Not outside. Insight. Go in. No, you got to go inside. You got to pray. You got to seek it out. Rightfully dividing the word of truth. You have to go in. Well, you know, my pastor always said, your pastor could have been always wrong. Especially if all he said was cliches that he heard his grandparents say. It's your job to go beyond me. That's your job. And that's what's powerful about the word of God. I can teach you as much as I want, but I never can never deliver you. So when you keep running to all these churches, getting on the prophecy line and the prayer line, you're an idiot. You are never going to find deliverance on somebody's line. You have a responsibility before God to take what you've learned, bring it before the Lord and lay it out and say, how does this apply to me? That's an individual responsibility that you cannot escape. You can't escape it through tithes and offerings. Bring a special gift up here, and God gonna bless you. I see five people with $1,000. Yeah, you're gonna be fleeced. Because what you need to do with that $1,000 is go lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, what say ye? Who would you like me to give it to? Remember, I'm one of the few pastors in the world, and it's proof. It's in my book that says the tithe don't belong to the church. It belongs to the Lord and wherever he tell you to give it. And I've always said that, and I've said that in front of pastor's church, and they'd be like, turn his mic off. You know, the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe belongs to the local house. It does not. He said, bring the tithe into my storehouse with that there may be meat therein. That's why people tithing and still ain't getting blessed. They ain't sought the Lord. And that's why I never lack, because I ain't trying to control God's money. Look, we did all new floors and everything. I ain't raised one offering. And this wasn't $50. It was close to $7,000. And look how small we are. And didn't raise one offering. You walked in and the floors were done. Because I know how, you know how when my eyes drift off like that, I know how to do that financially too. I just go, God, where the money? Where is it? Show me where I need to go. Show me what you want to do right now. Show me where your increase is for me in this season. Show me. Insight. You need to get in. And that's a personal relationship thing. That's not a redundant prayer thing. I said something about prayers that avail much, and I want to like make sure people don't understand. Don't think that I'm saying that's a bad thing. I love prayers that avail much, and I think you should have them and you should stand on them. But those things are supposed to be guidelines to show you how to pray, and then you add your humanity to it, your own heart to it. You don't just pray lines. Or a prayer for depression. I got the prayer for depression right here. Okay, yeah, but you don't know where your depression came from, praying somebody else's prayer of depression. You hear what I just said? Yeah. If depression is attacking you, it's assigned to you. You take that prayer and say, now, God, I lay it out before you. How does that apply to me? Insight. Got it? And you don't get it other than going before the throne to get it. So I stayed on that longer than I wanted to, but I think it was necessary. Get wisdom. With wisdom, get insight. And then what does insight bring? There it is, right? Once you have insight, you're like, oh, that's how that works. Let me explain that to you. You all know me. Somebody said to me recently, I don't like to get caught up in the minutiae and the machination of things. I'm like, that's your problem. I want to get caught up in the minutiae and the machinations. I want to know why and how it works. I don't want to have these faith accidents where God moves and I don't know how he did it. And I got to try to do 50 other things again to see if I can get him to do it again. Come on now. I'm talking to the church. Well, we prayed and we fasted. We walked around that night and we stayed up and had all night lock in prayer. Let's do that again. And you'll do it again and nothing happens. Person don't get healed. They wind up dying anyway. And you go, I don't understand. Well, we got to come up with a new magic trick. See if it works. Well, when you have insight and then understanding comes, I know how to go before God. Let me explain something to you. And I don't know everything. But doggone that, before I leave this planet, it is my plan to know it all. Amen. Somebody say to me, spiritual law. God works in spiritual law. He doesn't go against his word. As long as there's heaven and earth, what? Just say it slow. As long as there is heaven and earth, seed time and harvest shall not fail. That's spiritual law. But I planted my seed. It didn't grow. Did you know what else you're supposed to do when you plant your seed? Like fertilize the ground first. And then water, And then don't overwater. And you understand what I'm saying? Overwater is worry. Seed time and harvest won't fail. God works on spiritual law. If you learn the laws, it always works. Why do you never lack? Because I know the laws of provision. I don't care if it's 50 people here or 15. I ain't never done nothing special to try to get a raise or offering to pay the bills, ever. Some of you have been here over a decade. Never. Never did a special offering. Never need a pastor's new shoes offering. Nothing. I'm abundantly blessed. But I had to learn the laws. It ain't because God liked me better than you. Are you listening to me? If you're receiving something, put a hand up for me. I've learned the laws. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. It's a law. I prayed and prayed and cried and prayed. That have nothing to do with the law. God feels your pain. He holds your tears in vials. And you can die with God and understanding your pain. And you can go broke with God loving you with all his heart. Somebody here know what I'm talking about, right? When you came and you learned spiritual laws here, your finances turned around. Who bears witness in this house what I'm talking about? Right? See, that's almost every hand. You're seeing it. You came to me with the broke story. Well, maybe God is making me go through this to teach me. Somebody, nope. Nope, you don't know spiritual laws. Do this, stop saying this, do this. Don't do that, say this, stop saying that. Stop letting people talk. Stop watching this preacher on TV. Stop doing that. Here's the spiritual laws. And I watch every one of you guys go from, in some cases, having nothing to living a life that you never thought you would live. And that's why, as small as we are, we don't struggle to pay no bills. Because we's a prosperous bunch.
Amen.
It's the truth. You know the truth and it makes you free. So insight gives you understanding. Understanding makes you understand the workings of it. And the workings of it are principles. And if you keep doing the same work, it'll keep working. I want you to understand that and say that to yourself right now. It will always work. It will always work. God ain't a sometime he God. He reigns forever and ever. You'll sing the song. He's awesome all the time. But he's awesome by his laws. When you pray, are you listening to me? I don't pray for God to do. I pray for God to reveal. You got to put that in my notes right there, Lindsay, in my little sayings. Okay? I don't pray for him to do. I pray for him to reveal. Reveal what? Come on, talk to me. Reveal what? What? Say it again, Jericho. His wisdom, okay, no, go ahead. Insight, go, no. That's good, but that's not. I don't pray for him to do, I pray for him to reveal. All that's good, but that's not what I'm looking for. You're trying to get deep and spiritual. I'm trying to give it to you in baby bites. I don't pray for him to do, I pray for him to. I heard you. Reveal what? No. I want something simpler. That's it, the issue. I don't want to pray for him to do. I pray for him to reveal what's already done. God give me water. God don't have to make water. He just has to show me where the water is. God, I need finances. God is not going to drop money down. The ceiling's not going to open up and a bag of money drop. Oh! It's out there, all in the world. I believe, and I'm getting better at it every time, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Isn't that in your Bible? So then how come they got it and you don't then? It didn't say it's given to you, it says laid up for you. What's laid up for me? I want to go find out where it's laid so I can go get mine. And if you don't go get yours, I'm asking for God. I've been praying that for years. God, for every dumb Christian, show me where theirs is too. I want everybody's, mine and yours and everybody who ain't taking theirs. But it's laid up. You know what laid up means? I'll give it to you in the ghetto term. You may relate to it better. It's called layaway. You can relate to layaway. It's in layaway. Waiting for you. Just go pick it up. Isn't that the same? It's the same. It's laid up. The wealth is laid up. It's in layaway. Waiting for you. Understanding. Knowing how the principles work. Why is that important? Step by step. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. It works. I gave this example before. I give it again. You can have $1 million in the bank. But there's, and you know it's there. But you can't just walk in and say, give me my $1 million. It's my $1 million. Look at me. You don't see me? I'm Sophie Monroe. That's my money. They're going to say, can I see some ID, please? And you pull out your ID. They're going to give you the money? No. What are they going to say? Fill out that slip. What's your account number? I don't remember it. Well, you still can have your money. There's a process that you walk through to get even what belongs to you. Some of you are going to catch that tonight. Some of you are going to catch that tonight. God said it's yours. Stop praying for God to give you what he's already given you. He said it's yours. All things that pertain to life and godliness. He said that. You need to figure out how to fill out the slip. What name you signing on the slip? In the bank, you have to sign yours. And they match it. I wrote a check when I bought my car recently. I wrote a check. And it was a $10,000 check. And they froze the check. Car dealer called me up panicked. I think your check bounced. I said, ain't no way no check of mine bounced. So I reached out to the bank and they said, yeah, we looked at the signature and the signature didn't look right and it didn't look like yours and so we didn't cash it. Right, because I just went, my signature's changed over the years. You know how long ago I filled out my bank card? I filled out my bank card like 20 years ago. My signature has morphed and gone through all kinds. It's gotten lazier and lazier. I pronounce the letters less and less. Now, if it was $50 or $30 or $25, they probably would have said $5. If it was a couple of $100, they'd say $5. They say, this is $10,000. They did a comparison. No, we ain't let this one through. So they said, well, if you verify to us right now, you know, that this is your account, answer a few questions. Where do you live? What's your mom and last maiden name? You know, come on. What's your first name of your first pet? They ask these questions. It's still my money, but not until I answer them questions. And I answered the question, and they released the check. You're going before God, and you doing this emotional prayer stuff, and you think that's all it takes because you don't have understanding. God, like, I respect your emotions, and you look like you really are pitiful. I can see you look really busted, beat up. But that's not how you withdraw from the kingdom. He's not moved by your tears. He's not even moved by your sincerity, nor the snot running down your nose. He's moved by faith. This is spiritual principles. So get wisdom, get insight. Insight to the wisdom. I got to get insight to all wisdom. Well, let's just start with what you're believing for right now. Let's work with that. We'll get to the rest of it. But can we just start with something? Can we give God something to work with that he can build on? Because once you get the understanding of it, then you start to understand how to apply it to everything. It makes sense. understanding. And then it says, by acquiring those three things, you get what? Knowledge. No, not just knowledge, what it says. The knowledge of God. Read your verses. And through acquiring those three things, you obtain the knowledge of God. You mean I'm gonna have all the knowledge of God? I like that, and I believe for that, but I believe for me it meant the knowledge of God in my situations or the situations that he presents to me. The knowledge of God of what to do in each and every situation. You don't need the knowledge of God for everybody. Let's just start with you. Let's start in Jerusalem, and then we'll go into the outermost parts of the world, right? You just need, how many of you can say, listen, if I could just get the knowledge of God for me for now, I'd be okay. You know, on the airplane, put your mask on first and then help somebody else with theirs, right? You let's just get you straight, then you can help somebody out. Now, so we got it now. Let's go through it again. Wisdom. What's the next one? Next one? Next one. These are the keys to answered prayer. Spiritually speaking, that covers it. But now it becomes the physical element. Did you hear what I just said? That's what you need now. You got your gun. It's loaded. Now how to take aim and shoot. Your gun is loaded. Now time to take aim and shoot. That's where we came to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You there? Starting at verse 10. You know, however, all about my teaching, my way of life. So let's establish that again. We did it last week, but let's do it again. Sake of time. He says, you know about my teaching. And then he said, my way of life. Look at me, babies. Synonymous. Should be. If I'm standing here teaching the provision of God, and you got a pastor up there trying to beg for 15 offerings, talking about how blessed, how God wants you blessed, but then he keeps trying to get your money, I would be suspect. He says, my principles, my teaching, and my way of life. That means if I'm teaching the provision of God, I should have it. My way of life should line up with what I'm teaching. I shouldn't have to keep raising offerings every time you turn around. Have you? How many of you have been here more than 5 years? You ever seen me raise an offering for anything? 10 years. Ever seen me raise an offering for anything? So you're spoiled. You got to go to church with the thermometer on the wall. The building fund. And every time you give something, we color it in. And it's sit up there so long the red done turned pink. Now you can't even see what's filled in. It's up there, they done forgot about it. Building fund is over. They ain't never raised that building money. The new chairs for the children's church. We got them chairs that we got outside out the garbage that we, you know, we painted and put downstairs for the kids. Let me stop meddling. I've been in all of this. I told God, God, if you're calling me to do this and you don't provide, I'm out. I am not going to stand up there and preach and beg for money and scream and shout and do cartwheels across the church and break dance and do too legit to quit to try to get some money. I'm just not going to do it. So he said, my way of life and my teaching, synonymous. My purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. So these are the next phases now. After you have the knowledge of God, then I want you to have a way of life. And we established last week, it starts with purpose. Purpose is that thing that you get when you're getting insight. You have to know why you do what you do or why you have the gifts that you have. For years I've had these gifts and talents, but I didn't have a purpose for them. So I tried to win at doing things, not understanding the purpose for doing them. Who bears witness with what I'm talking about? So I'm doing stuff with no purpose. Well, I know I'm gifted to do this. I finally accepted I'm gifted to do this. I'm gifted to play instruments. I'm gifted to make music. But why? Well, the big mistake that started getting taught to me in church coming up through the faith thing, which I was sucked into for a good while before I woke up and saw the error in it, because God want me prosperous. Because God want me rich. God wants his children rich and prosperous. You ain't heard that? Yeah. So that becomes a purpose now. God want me rich and prosperous. That ain't no purpose. That's the same reason rappers do it and everybody else. That ain't no purpose. So when I'm rich, I can help people because I can show them what God did for me. Well, what about people who are richer than you that they don't believe in God? What you going to say to them?
Yeah.
You got a million, he got 50 million, he's still a heathen. Well, God took me from poverty. He said, okay, so what? I got 50 times more than you, and I ain't still don't believe in God. Your purpose is not to have stuff to show people your stuff. But I believed that lie for a long time. God wants me rich. He wants me prosperous. He does. But what's your purpose? To be a blessing to him? How are you going to be a blessing to God? That I might glorify his name? You can glorify his name broke. You need no riches to do that. And you barely doing it broke, so you ain't going to do nothing more when you get rich. You ain't representing God broke. You definitely ain't going to represent him rich. I'm looking straight at the wall so nobody don't think I'm talking to them. I'm like looking at the smoke detector. It's like, no, I'm not addressing nobody. I'm just putting it out there. No, this is all baloney we come up with because we are a lazy people. You will go to school and bust your behind and study to get a degree that serves you only some limited earthly purpose and not study this to show yourself approved to get insight to know how to work this. And that's why you're dependent on your 9-to-5 and your boss, because you put your time and your effort and your energy and your money into getting insight on that system and not this one. I figured something out. I hate school and classes and books and all that stuff. It drove me crazy. I said, well, God, if you could give me a love and a lust for one book, let it be this one. And he did. And I went in. And my reading level went from elementary school level to a high school level to a college level. And my insight and my knowledge of what, all my pronunciation, all the words I know, all the vocabulary I have, I got from here.
Come on.
And I got people with some of you up with your doctorate degrees. You all come listen to me. I have an associate's in business. And more money in business than people I know with masters in business. So there you have it. Spiritual laws work. Somebody say it.
Spiritual laws work.
Make sure you add all the time.
All the time.
All the time. We overcomplicate it. We try to make it deep and heavy and spiritual. It's simple principles. He said purpose. Purpose is what will drive you to your end. Remember, you always hear me talk about the difference between a dream and a vision. What's a dream? You can wake up from a dream. But when you sit with it till it becomes a vision before God, it locks itself into you and it won't escape you. So, here's the thing. Your purpose anchors you to why you're here on this planet. Without that, you're winging it.
Yeah.
And that's what we mostly do every day. We wake up and we wing it. We wake up and we pray it's a good day. And we decide it's a good day based on somebody says what we want to hear or not. The car starts or it didn't. Came out and your wheels were still there or they were gone. Somebody broke the mirror, somebody put a dent in it. Nobody called me back, I made 10 phone calls. I'm telling the truth, right?
Yeah.
But when you start to lock into this, I'm not saying I got it all, but I got a, I say, I don't care. I still believe what this principle has to work and the seed has to produce. And I still believe that the promise of God are yea and amen. And I still believe that nobody can take from me what God promised me is mine. And I stand firm on that because I said, God, you said it. And this is my purpose here. When God gave me that revelation not even a year ago, if you remember, when God said to me, you keep trying to be successful with this, that, how have I sustained you for the past couple of decades? Talking. He said, so what would make you think that I want to do anything else with you than use your voice? And what did you tune in to see yesterday? Look at who you came to see. Those who don't know it, you don't know it. It's okay. You can ask later. Well, that's, ask those who laugh and they know. Here's the point. Your principle anchors you to your purpose. Your purpose anchors you to your principle. As I said last week, now when you apply faith to it, faith has a different power than it ever had. Because it's not aimless. It's not some faith. I'm just believing faith to pay my rent. Faith to pay my bills. Faith that I don't get fired. Faith that I get a raise. All those momentary fixes. And I'm not against you using your faith to get a quick fix, but that's not what faith was designed for. You ready for this? The scripture said, by faith, God created the worlds. He spoke the heavens and stuff into existence. And you using it to pay your rent. To have a parking spot when you come to church. Glory to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Every time I come to this spot, right there. Hallelujah. But God used it to speak the worlds into existence. And he says, you're supposed to use it to speak worlds into existence. So faith connected to purpose doesn't waver like everyday faith, the way you use it, wavers. Because you know that purpose is mine. And if I'm believing, even if something comes against it, I say, but I'm still heading toward that. And in the end, it will speak and not lie. The vision will speak. The vision's for an appointed time. And in the end, it will speak. I love the fact that the vision can speak for itself. It don't need your help. It just needs you to stay anchored to it with a purpose. So what's your purpose? And did you pray about that after last week's message? Did you go before God and say, God, what's my purpose? Be honest. How many of you actually went before God and said, God, show me my purpose? A couple of you lied. Don't stick your hand up like that. We don't want no Ananias Sapphira. You're dropping dead in the aisle and stuff. Don't be lying. I know who didn't, because God told me. I'll leave it there. See, you're a small church. You can't lie to me because I know everybody's name. God said, they still looking for me to do stuff instead of looking at what I want to do with them. Caught that?
Yeah.
You got a bigger purpose than having your bills paid. Am I making this up? Take no thought for your life. Why would Jesus say that if he didn't mean it? He didn't say take no thought for your bills. He said for your life. Period. Like, don't even think about your life. What you going to eat and what you going to drink. For your Heavenly Father knows you have need, and that's the part I love. He said, God knows you need them things. So don't you worry about them because he knows. You didn't catch it. Don't take thought for your life. God knows what you have need of. So why are you worrying about it? How many parents up in here? Did you take care of your babies? You knew what they had need of, even when they didn't. You knew they needed that milk. They needed that meat when they got old enough to eat some chew stuff. You know that they needed their booty change, and they didn't ask for any of it. You did it. You walk by, whew, got to change that button. Baby running around fine. I'm good. Hey, I'm fine. Right? But you stepped in and changed them because you knew you needed it. They needed it. Are you a better parent than Father God? You don't think he smells you when you stink? You don't think he know when you need to eat? He said, don't worry about that. Don't take thought for that. Don't worry about that. Why are you here? What is your purpose on this planet? Why did I put you here? To have a successful business. Then I can invite people to my business and tell them about Jesus. Well, if that's what he told you, if he told you that's the height of your destiny, then amen, so be it. I ain't got no knocking against that. But then you need to know that's your purpose. Who has God put you here to reach, to touch? And if you are in pursuit of that with the understanding of spiritual laws, you will never lack anything. I'm proof. We're proof. This church is proof. I don't know people, churches five times outside don't own the building. People ask all the time, how do you pay for this? I usually give them a little smirk and say, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I know how to tap into the kingdom. I know how to do it. I know how to do it. Remember when we went to a financial slow time? That was years ago, right? And I sat you all down and said, listen, I'm just letting you know, we got enough store to hold us up for the next 3 years. But we need to believe God right now for some increase. But I had 3 years stored. I don't play checkers, I play chess. I move way ahead because I understand spiritual principle. That's what, is that crazy what I just said? Isn't that what Joseph did when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream? He said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty store up because you're going to be 7 years alive. Church folk don't do that. I'm just going to wait till things get bad. Then I'm going to fall on my knees and call the prayer circle and get on the prayer line and give a special offering and all kind of stupid stuff and no plan for the future. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we did the whole message about the oil and the foolish virgins, not being prepared. The problem was he called them foolish because they weren't prepared. They got into the situation and didn't even take provision. So here's what I'm saying to you. Let's bring this home. Are you learning something? I know I'm going over a lot of what I went over last week, but I want to move forward, but God was like, no, stay there for a minute longer. I really thought I would be going into patience this week. Your purpose attached to your faith gives your faith a long life because you know purpose is not based on what happens right this moment. It has a value of your lifetime attached to it. We spend so much time attaching our faith to temporary things that faith to us has lost a value. You understand what I'm saying? If it's car notes and rent and bills, then the moment that you use it, it becomes obsolete. The moment your bill is paid, what do you need it for? Right. It's done. And so we've been taught to practice faith on stuff that's temporal. Lay up not for yourself treasures on earth. See, but lay them up in heaven where thieves can't break through and rust does not corrupt. God has called you to be in a relationship with him. That's your purpose for everybody here. If you're saying, well, I don't know what my purpose is yet. Let me give you that as your starting point. Your purpose is to have a relationship with God that supersedes your relationship with the world. Amen. That's your principal purpose. That's it. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Okay, well, have you covered that part? Because if you do, then what you're supposed to do with your life won't matter. You know, whatever it is, my purpose is I'm serving God. And everything that comes my way will lead me to that purpose at that point. Yes. Now my faith won't fade because it's attached to something that has an eternal value instead of a temporal value. Great. Simple stuff like this is important to know. I've been in church for years. Nobody taught me that. So now I attach my faith to my purpose. But now I step to the next level of it, which requires what? Patience. I said it yesterday on the show, and I say it again today. The whole, I know, but it was hard. It's a hard. It's just, I don't know. It's just so hard. Yet people say it's hard. It's hard. It's so hard to stand. I know I'm trying to believe, but you know it's hard. Okay. What's harder? Standing for something that you don't see? Or going through pain about something you don't see? What's harder? Come on, let's think about it. You're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself for something that you're believing for and don't see, when it'd be just as easy to shift the whole energy over to being patient about what you don't see. It takes the same amount of energy if you look at it. One hurts, one don't. Did I lose anybody? Jericho says yes, so I'm gonna talk straight to you. Does it not take energy to feel pitiful and sad?
Yes.
Isn't it a willful decision to do that?
Yes, it is.
So wouldn't it be better just take that same energy and put it into just believing?
Yes.
I can decide not to feel sad.
Yes, right.
I'm just believing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what are you going to do on Friday? I'm going to see you on Friday. It's Monday now. Ain't no sense of me freaking out all week. I'm just going to enjoy the week. God gave me a purpose. And since he gave me a purpose, my faith says that he's going to supply that purpose. So I'll just be patient. I'm not going to lose hope in God because things don't seem in my sight to be moving. First of all, whose sight are you looking through? Because that's where patience comes from. What does it take for God? I'm going to say this now. To send his son to die for a church that he's been waiting to get right for thousands of years. A people who kept wandering off and leaving and serving foreign gods. And the pastors still do it today. They serve their god of that money. And they do it. And it's what it is. How do you raise an offering? What's the right thing to say to raise an offering? What time in the service should you do it? How often should you do it? What kind of story or knee-jerk or tear-jerk or sucker-grabber can we put up there? I won't say names, but I've been around some big ones for a while. You'll know it. You'll know what I'm talking about. When I was traveling with you'll know who. And as they was trying to train me to be ready for TV and stuff. And they started giving me the routines. I was like, this is not for me. I told God, if it comes to this, I'm out. I can't do this. If I have to do this to raise an offering. And I watched them always struggle to have money. And I was like, we're not struggling at all. But here's my point. I watched them try to create stories to get people to give. And it always bothered me because I felt, I said, maybe I'm being too spiritual. But why can't you just trust God? You know, simple childlike question. And so I say the same thing to you. Why are you caught up in trying to manipulate and maneuver and you don't trust? Now, I want to make sure I establish this. What I'm about to say is a very simple but important point. When I say trust God, that don't mean sit on your thumbs. When I say trust God, that means the wisdom that you've been being taught and the insight and the understanding to get the knowledge of God to know what you need to do so that you're not spinning your wheels doing a bunch of stuff that's going to produce nothing, which makes you more frustrated, which is the sign to break your faith. Most of us lose faith in the things of God and can't stand because we keep trying to make God move in ways that he's never designated to move. So your faith is being broken because you're seeing things work that were never designed to work. I mean, not work that were never designed to work. If you're doing what God told you to do, okay, I'm going to put it as a question. How many of you can so far relate to what I'm saying? How many of you can relate to trying to do it in your own strength and getting frustrated and losing your freaking mind and then, right? And then you get so mad, you think even at God, you go, you know what, I just ain't doing nothing. God, if you don't move, then it's just not going to happen. And then it happens.
So true.
God was like, thank you. You're finally getting out the way. You come on, who relates to what I'm saying right here? You know what I'm saying, right? It's true. God's like, it's about time. I'm going off on the side story, but I remember I was praying and praying to God about a situation I was in, and I was upset, and I was praying. And for me, it was serious because it was homelessness. And I didn't have a place for me and my family. And I'm crying out, and I'm praying, and I'm talking, and I'm praying, and there's all the spirit. I'm praying, it's a sweat coming off me. I'm going all in, and days are going by, and nothing happened. And I finally just got so upset with God. I said, you know what, God, I'm not saying nothing else. And I heard him say, it's about time. Because I couldn't get a word in. You're so busy praying so fervently. So fervently. You're so committed to your prayer. I said something to a gentleman, CEO the other day of United Way, we were talking, and he said, you know, somebody else, the other person I work with, like, she's got years in this, and I don't have all the years she has, but I'm really committed to learning this thing. And one of those downloads hit me, and I said, my friend, it's not the years, it's the ears. It's not the years, it's the ears. It's not how long you've been doing it, it's how well you listen. And how long you've been in church, it's your ability to hear what daddy's saying at the right time and do the right thing when he says it. And when you know that you've done what God has told you to do, then your faith lingers way longer, because every time you question yourself, you can go back and say, but God, I did what I know. And if there's something else I need to know, I'm here again for insight. I'm going to wrap up now because I want to pull up my verses about faith mixed with patience and all of that. And we're going to do that. But for the sake of time, I'll wrap it up. But here's what I'm going to say. I hear you. Our faith attached to our purpose has strong life. But patience missing will kill your faith. Faith is not a statement. This is what I want to get across strong. Are you listening to me? We've been deceived through some messages that faith is a strong, bold statement where 4 or 5 of you get together, two of you get together and agree it should be done. I believe. Okay, but then the question is going to always come, have you done that with people and it not work still?
Yeah.
Right, because you were missing patience. Because you have to be committed to the truth of God's word, and you have to be committed to it to the death. Did you catch that? If I believe God told me he called me to do something, I have to be committed to it, and I can't put a clock on it. I can't put emotion on it, and I can't put bad news on it. I have to be committed to you because I'm listening to you, but then I keep going and checking the records and checking the account and getting all the reports. Then whose report should you believe? Getting all the doctor's reports. I had somebody tell me they would believe in God to be healed, and they sat down and they pulled out a chart and broke down everything the doctor said was wrong, what kind of drugs they needed, how often they needed to take them, what the hemoglobins and semaglobins and myoglobins and all the kind of other medical terms that I'm making up right now, right? They were so thorough and so versed. And then the only thing they had to say about God, but I know God is able. Guess who's winning that one? And I'm like, if you had spent half the time studying this law that you have studying your charts. And they show me a thing, and this is how it moves to your system. And then to see it attach itself to my nerve right there, and I'm like, wow. And you just visualizing this every day, right? Every day. It takes patience to stand. But it also takes something opposite patient, but still the same kind of power and energy exerted to faint. Faint's a choice. Well, I just felt so weak, okay? I'm hoping this is encouraging and helping somebody.
Yeah.
So when you feel weak, what do? This is my last question, and I'm wrap up. When you feel weak, when you stand, how many of you right now are standing for something? Good. So hopefully at the end of this, your stand will be a lot easier. How many of you have found that stand at times to be difficult? Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to speak something to you that's going to change your life. When your faith feels weak or challenged, what do you do? That's a question. What do? Okay, so you're not volunteering, so I'm gonna throw some guesses out, and you can put your hand up if it's you. Put on some gospel music. No takers on that. You feeling down? You don't put on no gospel music. Okay, it's gospel music. I'm not saying it's wrong. Okay, so that, yeah, okay, you put on some gospel music. You find a prayer in a prayer book that speaks to your situation, kind of stand on that. You look for scripture that you feel kind of speaks to your situation or speaks to your situation. And the reason why I say kind of, because, you know, you ain't going to look in the Bible and say, Edwidge, go to 14th Street and 7th Avenue, and there shall your answer be. Right? So you have to find some story that you can kind of relate to emotionally, right, to try to take that stand, right? So a lot of people ain't raised their hand on some of them. So give me some other ones. I want to know what you do. Yes, Esther. Start watching some inspirational videos. Okay, Shell. You throw in the towel and go do something else. Okay, that is an option. It is. When you say throw in the towel, you don't mean give up. Do you mean give up? And so you redirect your energy. I like that. Go ahead. You ask God what's going on, okay? So basically what you mean when you say that, you ask God what's wrong. What am I doing wrong?
What am I doing wrong?
Where's the interruption? Same thing. I got it. It's the same thing. None of these are bad. I just want to know what you do. Nellie? You go back to the word and you.
Like my friends.
Okay, so you got that. I like that. Anything else? Esther, you got another one? Put yourself in remembrance, right? You remember how God brought you out before. You go back to that. These are not bad stands. All of these are good. What do you do when you're standing and it looks like it's not working? Some of you are nailing it right on the head. Shell, I leave it in the hands of, like, I did all I can do. I let it go. I'm trusting you. Now you said, I go remind myself of the scriptures and the promises of God. All of that is the most powerful stuff you can do, but add this to it. Know the spiritual laws. A seed planted must produce after its own kind. That's spiritual law. I always say, God, where am I seeding? Have I seeded in this area? If I'm believing for wisdom, have I sought wisdom? Have I looked for the opportunity to sow wisdom and counsel to somebody else? This is huge what I'm saying right now. This is just the opportunity, Lord, to be. Have you noticed when you're going through something, God usually brings somebody in your life that's going through the same or similar thing as you? Do you know what that's for? Not for you to say, I know how you feel, girl. I'm going through the same thing. Well, let's just pray that God just help us both. No, that's your opportunity to seek God for seed to sow to them in that area so that you can receive seed. God puts that person there so that you can reap. Seed would produce after its own kind. You have to sow seeds of encouragement if you want to be encouraged. You have to sow seed of wisdom if you want wisdom. You have to sow seeds of finance if you want finance. Sometimes people sow finance and they know how to sow, but they don't know how to reap. That's spiritual law too. How do you reap? Where do you reap? If you've been standing, go back to the promise. Always go back to the promise. Don't get distracted. I'm going to put on some gospel to make me feel better. I don't have a problem with that. But at some point, you still got to go back to, where did you get the word you're standing from? Is he who promised faithful? Sometime on your way down the road, you veered off track and you don't even realize you have. And you now going down a different road. But because it's movement, you think you go in God's direction. Sometimes you got to come back to the fork and go the other way. But that comes for you going back to the one who promised. Sometimes you may have to backstep and backtrack where you got off. That's all about insight. Is this helping somebody? This is about wisdom and knowledge. We want to make it spiritual. Well, God just come down, magically fix it. And God like, I work with you both to will and to do my good pleasure. He didn't say, I work for you. All things work together for the good. Not you do whatever you want and then I just bless it. I work together with you. That means harmony, unity. We flow in the same direction. If you flow in that direction, if you're off or you think it's taking too long, you got two questions to ask. One, is it really taking too long or am I being impatient? Or two, did I get off track somewhere? It's not that complicated. It's spiritual law. But I feel like I just need more wisdom. I'm just praying for wisdom. Really? You praying for wisdom? And what happened? I don't know. Then you ain't pray for wisdom. Book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. He'll give all men liberally and upbraid him not, and it should be given to him. So if you're telling me you prayed for wisdom and you didn't get wisdom, then you didn't pray for wisdom. If you did pray, you pray for what you call wisdom, not what God calls wisdom. First of all, Jesus is the wisdom of God and the power of God, so you have wisdom. I'm done, so I don't want to keep going over the clock. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Go back then to where you last heard him. Go back to where you last heard him. Who needs to hear this? Go back to where you last heard him. You didn't let too many other words, and you went to five other people, and they didn't give you some half-behind counsel that made you even more confused than you already was. Go back to where you last heard him. Get still there until you're sure, and then move again. Well, how many times do I go back? As many times as you need to. Go back to where you last heard him. You done added 15 other steps to this project, and he didn't ask you to. Go back. Be still and trust that his wisdom lives in you, that you can ask him for insight and understanding, and that he will answer. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He does. He's not trying to keep nothing from you. You're keeping it from you by not surrendering to him, giving it to you. I will end it by saying this. You've heard me say it before. God wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed. God wants you to win more than you want to win. He really does. But the process is still the same. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And spiritual laws are spiritual laws. That's why certain groups, you know, always make money, and certain groups always don't have it, because they understand spiritual law. I don't know what you're saying about us, how you feel about us, but we know God wants us prosperous, us and our children's children. And you know what group I'm talking about, and they always run this stuff. From the smallest nation in the world they coming from, and they come over here and take over everything, and they running everything, and they got all the money, because they know that. They're like, no, poverty. You talk to them about poverty, they're like, I don't know what God you serve. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't do poverty. We don't know that. They know that. Go back to your root. And most important, listening to me, this just came in my spirit. Go to your God. Not pastor's God. Not Bishop Jakes or Bishop whoever. Go to your God and get your answer clear again. Go to your God. Do it right now. Right now. Go back to your Father, your God, the God who saved you. You got saved with him. Nobody else was involved in that salvation. Go back to your Savior right now and say, renew in me the original vision. Clear the page off. And take me back to where I was when I heard you the first time. Go back to your God. Your God. He's your God. He died for you, not for us, for you. Go back to your God and get that answer fresh. Get it clear again. Get it clear again. Clear. I'm speaking right now as you're praying. God, clear all the clutter off. Clear all the confusion off. All of the self-will off. All of the emotion off. All of the lies off. Clear the plate right now, Lord. Open our minds again to what you originally told us. Bring us back to that childlike faith we had when we first heard it and it made our hearts full. Let us not get caught up in clinging to the confusion that the world tries to give us. We are people of faith and we have great patience. We claim that today. Say, my patience is great. And my faith shall not fail. Go back. Clear the clutter. I speak death to the clutter and confusion right now. And I pray for hope to spring forth again in you. For hope to spring back up. And you get back on that simple path. We clear the clutter right now in Jesus' name. And we speak peace and freedom to the vision that God initially gave you. be restored to your full stature. We clean up all the rust and all the moss and all the dew. And we say, God, let us see it again in its splendor in which you gave it to us, that we are not moved. Show us our purpose now with it so that we can stay on track with why you gave us our gifts. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said,
amen.
We just said that week, and the people of God said,
amen.
One more time, let me hear you. And the people of God said,